Get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dynamic Golf. I am your co-host, Tim McElvanna. It with me today is Sean Klotz. Today, Sean, we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk a little bit about TGL, which I think is a new exciting brand that's coming on out for golf. Also, we'll have a little sneak peek into the PGA show. So welcome back, listeners. Sean, take it away for us, buddy.
T-Mac, good to hear from you. As always, good to talk to our listeners. I'm excited about 2025. You know, yeah. You're always trying to reset yourself. I think that's as I started doing some lessons indoors here in the facility at Oakley, you know, kind of it's just such an easy way to kind of segue into the what the person's trying to do and improve on. So you just say, kind of say, hey, what are your goals for 2025? So I remember last year you were talking about trying to maybe increase some club head speed, work on your own personal game type of thing. Is there anything specific that you're trying to do for 2025? I know you got the two little kids, so it's hard to play in tournaments and stuff, but.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that because I do remember last year I was definitely into the speed. I was definitely trying to work on getting club head speed, but as time went on and family went on, now I think my goal for 2025 is just to be able to play once a week.
Okay.
So, and I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that, you know, with busy schedules you know, time being compressed. I think they can understand that quite a bit.
Well, it's the life of a golf pro, you know, no matter what kind of, you know, how you've kind of positioned yourself, doing more YouTube videos, trying to do, you know, obviously working with our podcast while doing maintaining your daily instruction to your people, and then also trying to be a dad and a wife, or a dad and husband. Yeah. And you know, there's just so many different things, and it's part of why I enjoy being the PGA pro at a golf course, because it's every day is different. There's always something different that we're going to do. You know, right now it's, when I came back from vacation, it was okay, we got to somehow set up a simulator indoors from scratch. So there's some, you know, imagination and inventiveness with what we do. And then now it's okay. Now I've got the facility kind of set up for it. So now you got to advertise yourself and market yourself and get that word back out to the membership. Yeah. And so that becomes a different hat. And then guess what? When the people actually walk through the door, now you've got to do the golf lesson. So you got to, you know, again, like I said, talk to them and, hey, what are your goals, Mrs. Smith or Mr. Jones or whatever? And so it's just fun. I mean, I'm not in any way whining about it. I don't think you are either.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes, like, our personal goals kind of get put in the back burner because we're doing so many things to keep the food on the table and keep money coming through, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I think a lot of our, you know, our listeners can relate to that. You know, sometimes golf kind of takes a you know, a little sidetrack, but we do need to have our goals, you know, trying to keep our, you know, even if we don't achieve them, at least having them on the board there and working towards them, I think always helps our game, no matter how far along we get along in that. But we do, you know, have a goal, you know, even if it's a small goal, like, you know, what I'm trying to do is just accomplish playing one day, you know, one day a week. I think if you can kind of set yourself for that, it just helps your game as you further advance.
Absolutely. And if that question was asked to me, so normally, you know, like, I fancy myself as around like a 4 or 5 handicap golfer as a PGA guy. I know we're all supposed to be 0 handicaps, but that's the people on tour. That's not necessarily guys who are working in the counter or behind the counter, you know, 40 to 50 hours a week type of thing. So it's funny, my goal probably this year is more about trying to score and, trying to learn how to, you know, trying to learn how to navigate my way around this golf course here at Oakley Country Club. Also trying to sustain kind of scoring. So I recently went down to Florida to my old home state there and, played about 5 rounds of golf. And again, the listeners will, as we talk, me and you talk, I think it's just so representative of what our listeners go through. Every round I played, I had a 30 and a 40. Like, I had scores that just started with a 3 and started with a 4. So, you know, shoot 44, 35 the first round out. So, you know, that's 79. A lot of people in the world would be happy, but, you know, why can't you shoot 35 and why do you shoot 44?
Gotcha.
And it goes to some of the stuff we've talked about, like you shoot the 44, your first round back after not playing for 8 weeks, and I've got a new putter and I've got new irons that I haven't hit other than 2 times on the range, and I don't have the reps, right? I just don't have the reps in with those clubs.
Or the confidence, right? I mean, you haven't shot that, 72 with that set of clubs where you're like, I'm ready to go and tack the course with that, right? Confidence is a big part of it too with your new equipment.
It's the to me, T-Mac, a huge part of it is the library of shots. So what I mean by that is I got a new set of irons, new shafts, and that's the biggest difference is the shaft is a lot lighter than what I've had before, still staying in the stiff world, but that gram weight is gonna benefit me in the future. But to get used to the weight and kind of how the head comes through and how you have to kind of swing it a little bit, just be a little more patient with the club instead of trying to. So you can go to the range and you can hit balls, which again, I won't hit balls twice with them, but it doesn't replicate being on a golf course with a target, having to hit it over a bunker or over water, whatever. And it literally showed in that round, like how that changed.
With a scorecard in your hand, remember, I mean, with people forget about that. Just put a scorecard in your hands, and that game becomes a lot tougher, doesn't it?
Does this happen to you? I'm going to ask you this question. So, the first hole I played, and I mean, I'm not trying to micromanage this round, but I just think, again, it's a good indicator for other people to listen to when we talk. Like, this is what we go through the same thing that you guys go through as playing. So, first hole, again, kind of definitely rusty, hadn't played in 8 weeks, whatever. I missed the first putt with the brand new putter from like 4 feet, and I made bogey. And I feel like T-Mac, I feel like if I make par on that first hole, I think my mindset changes pretty drastically in the round. Because you feel like you're working from behind when you make your first bogey, double bogey on the first hole. Does that make
Correct.
sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. For me, it's usually the standard double off the first hole, and you just feel like you're always chasing that whole front nine to get those 2 strokes back. And I guess it just, and then you get another bogey along the way, and you're looking at it, it's three or it's four over then. And then it's just, you're looking, let's just go to the back nine and try to stay under 40 at this point. You know what I mean? And I get that. Absolutely. If I can make a par or even a birdie on the first hole, I just feel like I'm gaining on the course, and I'm off to a flying start.
That's funny you say that, because I actually, the next time I played that course, which was 3 days later, the next time I start on that course, I go par, birdie, par, and now I'm one under after three. And now I'm in that little bit of uncomfortable zone, like, uh-oh, this could be a good round of golf,
This
right?
might
And
be the
I and
day
that,
right here, right?
so that round was the 38-42 round, right? Where I was started off good, then I kind of, like you just said, like made a kind of a bad bogey on number four, and then number five's a difficult hole, and I made bogey there, and all of a sudden, 15 minutes ago, you're one under, now you're one over, and now your whole mindset changes, and you start putting a little more pressure on yourself. It's just, we don't do what they talk about on the PGA Tour. We don't do that enough, which is you talk to a PGA Tour player, you hear them and get interviewed after the end of the round. The thing that they talk about, T-Mac, I hear all the time is, just taking it one shot at a time, just playing one hole at a
The
time.
old
All I
cliche,
can
they
do,
say, right?
right? I'm just doing what's in front of me. Can't worry about what's happening tomorrow. I'm just going to play good, and hopefully that score will show up against the other player. Like, they don't talk about if I break 66, I'm going to come in first. No, that's not how they approach it.
So let me relate
And
that to something that, with that being said right there, I think a great point is that, when you're out there and you're sick, right, or don't feel good, and you're just one shot at a time. I got to get through the next shot. And then when you get done with the round, you find out that you shot a very good round, and you just stayed in the moment the whole way. Have you ever noticed that as well? Like when you don't feel good, or you're kind of out of it, or if you're in the zone, it's just it's so much. It's just there's not thinking ahead. It's not I need to save this score, or I could shoot this score. It's just ball in front, hit ball. Ball in front, hit ball. And you just keep repeating the process, and somebody hands you a scorecard and says, hey, your round's done.
I think that's one of the hardest things for all of us to do is not play the, oh, if I make par on this hole, I'm going to shoot 37, or if I make bogey on this hole, I'm going to break 45 for the first time, or right, that whole game.
Yeah.
We get so caught up in that instead of the, and again, you talk to good players and sometimes they don't know. Most of the time they don't know. A lot of times they're just kind of like oblivious to it.
Yeah.
That's a really good, we call them kind of like dumb golfers, and you want to be
Daryl
kind of a dumb
Martin.
golfer. Yeah.
Daryl
Yeah. And
Martin.
that's not even a, it's
Not
not a
in,
negative toward
no,
Daryl.
but I mean
It's just,
he's just in the zone and he's not thinking about
yep.
anything else other than golf.
No, hit the ball down. I'm supposed to hit the ball down the fairway, and I'm supposed to get the ball on the green. And that's how my head pro up here plays. He's just ironically consistent with ball striking is, 14 to 16 greens per round. He doesn't have the greatest short game I know of because he doesn't need it because he hits more greens than I know of most tour players.
Wasn't that like Jack
So.
Nichol N Nicklaus? Didn't have the best short game, but when you're hitting fairways and greens, who really needs it?
That's it. That's it. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said about all that. It's just the last kind of point I'll make about the kind of the scoring world and the zone you're talking about is in that back nine, the 35, like you get in a rhythm, and that's the term I like to use. The rhythm of, and it's to me it goes down to the rhythm of your pre-shot routine. We've talked about that before, is the same. It's a consistent, not deviating. Doesn't matter if you're one stroke down in a stroke play event. Doesn't matter if you're two holes down playing against a guy and you got, four holes to go. Like if you don't deviate, if you're trying to break 90 and you start taking longer times on the putting green on 17 and 18, probably not going to break 90,
Yeah,
right?
correct.
That rhythm in the zone thing is kind of like the freedom. Your head's kind of not in the way. You're not in the way thinking about, oh, if I do this, I'm gonna. No, you're just ball, target, hole, target, go.
Yeah, I mean, usually for me, I've got either like some kind of conversation in my head, or I've got a melody or a song, and it just kind of takes me out. It frees me up, and it's very rare that I get in those moments. And I think that's why so many athletes try to chase that moment. But when you
Right.
find that moment, it's kind of like it's zen. Obviously, it's just a zen moment. But once you snap out of that, it's You're like, where the hell am I? What am I doing? And then the mind starts taking over, and then you can't even feel your
You're done.
hands in the club. And you're like, oh my God, there's the water that's 75 yards to the right at this point. You know what I mean? You just start thinking of all the bad things that could happen. So absolutely, absolutely. So
I think the
yeah.
I was going to say one of the best examples are, is the baseball pitcher trying to throw the no-hitter, and kind of how the guys on the bench don't talk to him or don't even bring it up type of thing. And that's really what you want as the golfer guy, is you don't want somebody in your group to say, oh boy, you're seven over and you only got two holes left. Have you broken 80 before?
Yeah.
Like you just don't want it. You want to just keep doing what you're doing to maintain that. So, whatever those mental tricks are that you have to figure out on your own to make yourself, like you said, music is great, rhythm, keeping, just get out of the mechanics of it so much and keep in that free flow state is sometimes what you hear it's called,
Yeah.
where it's just, it's the basic stuff. The less you get out of your way, the better, or the more you get out of the way, you're better. The more you stay,
Yeah, just
just.
get into that mental mindset where you're just like, in beta zone, you're just, like everything's zoned out. You're just focused on a few things. There's not, you don't really hear a lot of things. At least for me, the not that the game's going fast, but it seems like, oh, I'm on hole 15. It just seemed like I was on hole 6 just a minute ago. It's just everything kind of flies by. But, as we get older and play less, those moments come less and less. It's more like a hole or two now, not a whole round.
And that's exactly what I thought when I was playing the four five rounds, because yeah, I had some 30s, but I also had some 40s. The other component I'll bring up is the new putter, right? You got a new putter. It feels great on the showroom floor. It feels great on the new practice green. It feels good. Like it
What
just
putter did
feels
you
like,
get? Tell everybody what new putter you got. I mean, that's a big change for you.
So Odyssey's got, I've kind of liked the Odyssey product for many years. They've kind of have some different variations to their faces. We'll see some new stuff coming in, up here at the PGA show, which is next week in Orlando,
Really excited for that.
where a lot of the companies, we'll get to that in a second, definitely. But this is a, it's a counterbalance putter. So it's basically like 38 inches long.
Okay.
So you've seen like, Ricky Fowler and Wyndham Clark were the two guys last year that were using this, that length of a putter, and they had the long putter. And I, and again, it's funny when you watch a tour event now, how many different grips people are using on tour,
Yes.
right? Like not the, obviously the rubber is part of it, but just the placement of the hands.
Up high,
Did you say
down
you were
low,
kind of
grip.
doing claw? Yeah. Are you kind of a claw guy now, or you've been
No, I'm back to conventional.
conventional?
I'm,
Yep.
you know, I'm back to conventional, but I'm sure once it goes south, I'll go back to the claw.
Yeah. So I'm conventional grip, but it's a 38 inch putter, and I'm gripping it probably around 34, 35 inches. So I've got about 4 inches extended from where my hands are placed on the club above. So what it does for me, what it's helped me to do in the first 2 months of having the putter is just feel like it's a much more of that kind of pendulum shoulder motion type
Okay.
of thing where it's not handsy. It's got a good face. It's called a, it's the white hot type of face,
Is it the
on their
AI
new
technology
AI.
or?
I was gonna say the AI one. Yeah. So
Okay.
that was last year. Me and you were down in Reunion where we're at when we're doing the Callaway
Yeah, I think it was Reunion.
staff.
It was a great
Yeah.
show that they provided for us. A
Yeah.
lot of knowledge on that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got the different faces. They got the gold face, they got the red face, but the white face is kind of like their stock one, we'll call it. So I think, you know, again, as we talk to our listeners, like find it's got to look aesthetically good to you when you look down at it. So it's the Versa is the name of the actual head.
Okay.
Always kind of like that fang look, or the bigger mallet is what we call it. This has got, it's a Versa head, and it's got the white hot face. It's 38 inches. It's got a big grip. The grip is probably 21 inches long. Like it's really, because it's, again, it's designed for either holding it against your left arm and bracing it. It's designed if you want to do a claw, if you want to reverse your hands, put it, you know, left hand low. So there's multiple ways that you can place your hands on the club, just for me, what I've seen. So
Have
the
you done
long
the
story.
arm bar thing at all? Have you tried that at all? Did you like that if you tried that?
I've tried it, but I don't feel like it. I feel like it's a little awkward on my left forearm, so it feels like it doesn't stay in place.
Okay.
There's another grip out there by Odyssey, which is called a wrist lock grip, which is where essentially, if you think about the way a grip is usually positioned on a club, it's actually kind of turned at a 90-degree angle, so it locks into your left palm kind of forearm in a better placement. You know, for whatever reason so far, and I was rolling this one great up here and like towards the end of October, November, and I probably one of the first putters I've actually, you know, whatever the word is, it's going to sound arrogant, but like I actually purchased because we're lucky enough to get putters from some of these companies. But I purchased this one because I believed in it so much, and the where I was
And
leading
that
with all
means
this.
something too. If a pro's going out and using their
Right.
hard-earned money to buy your product,
Right.
that means they believe in it and they want that in the bag, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. But where I was going with all this is as I was practicing with it before I did purchase it in October, November up here on the practice green up at Oakley or the back practice green, because I didn't have a chance to play with it too much because it got cold or whatever. But I just was, I mean, when I say go practice putting, you know, it's, to me, it's probably making 100 to 200 putts, you know, at a time. And they're 3 and 4 footers, 5 footers, maybe. And you, what I'm looking for, T-Mac, I'm looking for to hit a 5 footer and see it go in and hear it go in. And again, going back to this story, like build the library in my head of good experiences with that club.
Yes.
So I transfer that to going down to Florida to play golf 6 weeks later. And what I'm thinking about over the 5 footers is all those 5 footers that I made on the practice putting green at
Yeah.
Oakley, not the 5 footer in front of me. Just, I just made a bunch of these when I practiced with it. And shockingly, it translates into the ball going in the hole when you're actually playing.
Memory recall, right? Memory
Yeah.
recall, right? You know,
Yep.
bringing those positive experiences to the putt that's at bare, and you know, just not worrying about the pressure that comes with it, but the confidence of that you've made that 1,000 times.
I think I brought this story up before when we've talked, and I don't care if I reiterate it 10 more times because it's such a great one. But Freddie Couples Masters, I think it was 92. I think that's when he won, but I'm pretty sure it was this year. That year, he's got to hit a 6 iron, onto the green to kind of two putt and kind of make par for that day or whatever it was. But it was a difficult shot, and the reporter and Freddie Couples had a little Daryl Martin to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Like
it does.
he had a right. He was just such an athletic figure, and the game seemingly came very easy to him. Doesn't, but it seemingly he made the swings look repeatable and easy.
Like he just
But
rolled out
he,
of bed with that golf swing.
yeah, right, exactly. But a reporter asked him, like, hey, Mr. Couples, what were you thinking about on that hole? You had a difficult shot. You had to go over the bunker, and you had to cut it around. And he just looked at the reporter, just very matter-of-factly, like, do you know how many times I've hit 6 irons? Like, do you know how many good 6 irons I've hit in my life? That's what I was thinking about. I wasn't worried about the bunker or the fact that I had to make this on there for two putt. Like, I just thought about how many good 6 irons I've hit. And, so I think when me and you talk about, to our listeners and like not preaching to them, but sort of like, hey, if you want to be good at this game, you can't roll out of bed. You got to put the work in. You got to put the work in, which is any endeavor that we do in life. You can't be a good pianist unless you're playing the piano 10
Correct.
hours a day, whatever. So, yeah, the expectation of just going to a golf lesson and expecting to all of a sudden become better. No, that's not the way it works.
No, it takes
You
a
go,
lot of time, doesn't it?
yeah, you go to the golf lesson to get the plan to figure out what to work on, and then you go work on it. That's the reason to go to seek a professional's advice, because you don't want to try to figure it out yourself because you can't see it, and what you think is important may not be important, and what you watch on YouTube probably not applicable to you.
Correct.
So that's our little,
Correct.
PSA for
So,
golf lessons.
let me ask you a question. You're talking about that you're going to work on your scoring for our audience. What are some things or some key things that you're going to try to focus in on scoring? Is it going to be short game putting? Is a certain combination of the two? Is there something that you're kind of focusing on for your scoring or
Yeah.
numbers?
No, great question, definitely. And this is the way that I would answer it for this is the way you want to try to get again to break 90, to break 80, or break 70. Hitting more greens in regulation, that's a simple, it's almost like the let me just try to be more consistent conversation that we always talk about. Hitting greens in regulation, then that means that you got to lead back to what club am I going to hit off the tee box? Am I okay with hitting a 3 wood or even a 7 wood off the tee as opposed to just automatically picking driver up off the, out of the bag? Because I'm going to place myself in a better position statistically with a club that's shorter with more loft than I would with a club that's longer with less loft. So,
Correct.
yeah, we have the luxury of not having to hit driver everywhere. There's definitely some players that we work with that need to hit driver everywhere, and that's fine. So in kind of order, it would be, okay, I know when I see better players and when I've played my best rounds, I've hit more greens in regulation. So I already, not arrogantly, I already believe that I'm one of the better short game players that I know because I practice it and like it, but I need to hit more greens. I don't need to keep putting pressure on myself by getting up and down. I need to move my greens per average from 6.7 right now to ideally 10, and then let's go to a tour level, which is around 12. Again, be realistic with your expectations. Tour players are they're kind of going between 12 and 14, some of these ridiculously scoring, how they're scoring so well now. But yeah, I would say that that'd be so in macro big picture, it's going to be okay, I need to hit more greens in regulation, which means I need to kind of think smart, a little smarter off the tee box. Again, me and you, like, we're both really good inside of 150. So if you get the 400-yard golf hole, okay, I got to hit the ball 250. If you got the 380, golf hole, I need to hit the ball 230. If I got a 350-yard golf hole, I need to hit the ball 200. I don't need to try to hit the ball 260 with my driver every single time in those circumstances. I need to get to 150, and I'm going to have more luck from 150 in the center than I would from 135 in the rough, you know?
Gotcha. So would you
Go ahead.
tell your students, would you say, with that being said, that if I'm at the range, put the driver down and pick up the 7 and 8 iron and work harder on that to make sure that your approach shots are where they need to be?
Yes, but it's, you know, it's student specific, if that
Gotcha.
makes sense. You know,
Yeah.
like maybe
Or middle
they
irons,
might
I
need to
guess.
work right. Well, they might need to work on hitting 3 wood more off of a tee box,
Gotcha.
and be comfortable with hitting 3 wood, which we hear that a lot from players, right? We hear that they hit their 3 wood as far as their driver. You hear that
Yes, studies
from
have
your
shown that they actually
player.
do because it has more loft, which gives them more carry, which
Yeah.
gives them more distance.
Yep.
So
Yep.
yeah, I would
And
highly
or
suggest that for sure.
right. And or it's the other way. I'll say it's that way, what you just described, definitely. Or it's they hit down on it already with driver, not correctly. And they're doing that with a 3 wood and the ball's coming out kind of like a lower trajectory, but it's going straighter. And the ball might roll. You might roll it. Who cares if you carry it 240 or roll it 240? If you got the ball out there 240 yards and you're in the middle,
Yes.
nobody ever asks me, you know, oh boy, how far did you carry that drive? No, it's all about how far did you hit it. So, you know, it is, I think you got to be aware of what you need to work on, how you're going to lower your scores. Again, for some other players, it might be they very, very possibly could go work on their short game chipping, putting, bunker play. I think that's, God, I think that's one of those that I see when I play with, you know, my friends and whatever, and they just lose so many strokes in bunkers, and it's not about getting it up and down all the time, but it's certainly about getting it out all the time onto the green. So when you play with the higher handicaps, right, that's the one where you that they're nervous about bunkers, they're scared of bunkers, they don't want to go in bunkers. Yeah, well, I got to get better at my bunker play then.
Yeah. Find yourself a bunker and a bucket of balls and get it out. Figure it
You
out.
know, I would. That's one, T-Mac, that I would tell my listeners, tell our listeners, tell my students, go watch YouTube, because there's some pretty commonalities type of things with bunker play. You can't do certain things, and you have to do other certain things to get the ball to go out.
Yes.
Now, yeah, there's different, you know, types of sand, and there's different lengths of golf shots, and I get all that, but there's some certain things in a bunker you have to do. You can't hit a bunker shot with your weight on your right side. You know, for listeners asking, what are some of those things? You just can't. You
Nope.
can't have your weight on your backside.
No matter what shot you have in the bunker, doesn't matter if it's front, back, middle, nice lie, up lie, whatever it is, you're going to need some weight in that front side. Yep.
You have to hit the sand first. We're never hitting the ball. It sounds like simple things, but no, these are things to that the that you should be aware of. So I got to hit the sand first. You know, whether you play a 56 or a 60, that's up to you. Whether you hit, you know, an inch behind the ball or 6 inches behind, or you know, 2 inches behind the ball, whatever. Those are kind of where we start getting into distances and things like that. But just go, and you know, again, it's not sexy, it's not exciting to go do, but it's kind of fun. I love going to bunkers and just kind of hitting bunker shots, and you know, imagination starts to become a huge part of that right there.
Yes. And you start to figure out how that club is utilized because you really have to thump the sand. You've got to give it a
That's right.
hit, and I see a
That's
lot of
correct.
my students, they get to the sand and they just
Stop.
stop. And I'm like, what
I
are we
stop,
doing,
right?
man? I mean, if we were on the interstate, we'd haul ass up the on-ramp, and now you're stopping. I mean, keep going. That's the big thing I see with a lot of beginners and some of my
Oh,
students.
it's a
You just
great
stop
point.
in the sand.
It's a great point. I was given a lesson this morning, and I had two different lessons to two different people, and both ladies, and they were both kind of different skill levels. But the second lady, who's kind of newer back into the game, you know, we talked about it, and you kind of kiddingly say it, but you know, she's not. I'm like, look, I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what your friends have been telling you. You can't try to lift the ball off the ground. We got to hit down into the golf ball to get the ball to go up. We're talking about a 7 iron or 8 iron, and it's the same concept in the bunker, which is again my point. Like a lot of people that are not good in bunkers try to lift the ball by,
Helping it
letting
up,
the
yeah.
club. The club releases past the hands. Now we're getting a little more technical. The club's trying to pass the hands instead of hitting. Like you said, thumping is a great term. Again, my boss Scott, who's just a really good bunker player, loves practicing the bunker. You can hear it from 10 yards away. You can hear him hit a golf shot versus probably anybody else out here as far as bunker play. So,
Yeah, it always has
no,
that
that's
good
good.
thump to it. I mean, it's just, bam, it's hit. You're like, wow, that's, it's a great sound. And when you pull it off, you're like, wow, I did that.
The last part I'll say about like how to lower your scores, I would say, and I've brought this up before too, but again, these things are all set so good. You got to be able to reset when you're on the golf course. You have to learn how to shoot 44, 35, or 42, 38, or find it, somewhere in the middle of the round. Hopefully not after 44 shots. Hopefully you figure it out after two holes instead of, right?
Well, I remember back in the day, and I still kind of use this for myself, but you used to use this with the high school kids. You put a line on the scorecard,
That's what I was going to bring up.
I thought that was always a visual on your card. It's something in your mind. And it just gives you, hey, I've got to start from here. Give myself a fresh start. Forget about that in the past, and let's move forward.
I know your daughters are watching all the Disney movies now and stuff, but my girls are a little older than your girls, but The Lion King, that whole like Hakuna Matata mentality of life of like, don't worry about it. The monkey hits the lion on top of the head and says, "What does it matter? It doesn't matter. It happened in the past. You can't do anything about the double you just made. You can't. You feel bad. You're stupid, frustrated, but you have to somehow be able to reset, change your mentality, change your mindset. Okay, I made double. Great. Now I'm going to start. Now I'm going to make my first par, or I'm going to make the first string of pars, or whatever that is. Or again, however what your scoring is. If okay, I got to make the first bogey. I got to make the first double. I don't care. Whatever it is, but you got to start with one. Can't make six bogeys unless and again, the players that we play with is you can't make five birdies until you make the first birdie.
Correct.
Well, if that means you can't make the first bogey until you make the, if you're trying to make five bogeys in a row at your skill level, well, you got to make one bogey in a row. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely. You
which,
got to start somewhere, right? You got to turn, you got to find a corner and work your way out of it.
that's it. That's it. Yeah, don't make big numbers worse, or don't make, just don't. Big numbers becomes a thing again. It's with some of those rounds, it's just you feel like you're almost you're speeding up. That's a great term. Like you speed up in the middle of the hole. You're like, ah, I just got to get out of the way. I'm hitting the ball in the water. I'm just gonna chip it out. And I'm gonna whatever. I'm gonna, oh, these guys are putting. I feel bad that I got to go hurry up. Well, guess what? You just made triple and you just ruined your day.
Correct.
So.
Correct.
So, yeah.
I definitely feel that when I'm on the course, that mind starts going real quickly. Everything just seems to be going in fast motion, and you're just, you're hoping it slows down. And I think just, having some breathing exercises kind of helps you a little bit with that.
Isn't it worse too when you play like if me, you, Crump, and Jim Cross went out and played golf, that wouldn't even happen to us. But if I played as a single up in or out in Cocoa Beach, down there, kind of like east part of the state. And I felt, you just feel a little awkward joining somebody. You're just like, they didn't know each other, which was good. But if you're a single and you join a threesome, and those guys have a vibe and you don't, or whatever that is, and like, again, T-Mac, like we're better than 90% of the golfers in the world, and we're feeling this way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can you imagine the 15, the 12 to 15 handicap, the 25 handicap, the lady who's hasn't played golf almost on a golf course, and she feels intimidated to go join a group of people at a golf course, and she doesn't hit it great off the first tee because there's pressure already. Then you go to the, now you're rushing. Now all of a sudden you shoot 120 because you're just you've blown yourself up before you even started.
And you couldn't wait to get off the golf course quick enough. You know what I mean? You're just rushing
Right,
around that
right.
golf course. You're like, let's get this over with. And you forget that you're out there to enjoy a beautiful day. You know,
That's
and
correct.
hopefully a beautiful day. Hopefully it's not too
That's
bad. But,
correct.
you know, you're out there to
No.
enjoy, you know, nature, your time with your friends. And it just seems like, yeah, you're right. If you get that really bad start, you can't wait to the 19th hole to get out of here.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Hey, did you watch any of the TGL the last couple of weeks?
Sure did. I've watched both weeks. It's been very, very, very new and exciting, I think, especially you know, with the tie that I have and that you had with the simulators, you know, up there and down here. I think it's just the way of the future. I think what it's going to be is a lot of the young kids are going to move towards playing, especially minorities, I think.
It's an interesting event, right? It's not something, same thing like me and you talk about when we go to, if you give us $60, we're not going to Topgolf. Like, we're gonna go play golf somewhere in the real world.
Yes.
That's not what we love to do. I can certainly understand the allure of it, the attraction of it. I get it, why it's, and I mean, I kind of let, you know, they're trying to get the team atmosphere, which is, it's funny, as you start getting ready for PGA Junior League, you know, this spring I started putting that together. Again, then, you know, one of the number one reasons why the kids play in Junior League is because it's a team atmosphere, team orientation. So as these guys are, as they're trying to, you know, let's face it, they're trying to create, implement something that's not normally part of the golf world,
Yes.
the team atmosphere, right?
Yes. And I think that's because I think what TGL and I think LIV even too is they're trying to touch into that old college feeling, you know, like when you played college, playing with a team and stuff like that. You know, they're trying to
Right.
touch into that nostalgic feeling. And I think a lot of players like that team atmosphere, the Ryder Cups, the President Cups, you know, playing for a team. I think they like that. And I think that's just becoming more popular now, compared to what it was before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's taking an individual sport and turning it into a team event is what they're doing.
Yes.
Where all the other sports are essentially always based on team atmosphere. You can have your standout individual players, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tom Brady, whatever, Jerry Rice, but they're essentially team sports. This is going the opposite way. It's funny, like tennis is the other one that you would think would try to lean into this side of it, but I
Yeah.
haven't really seen that happen because it is this, you know, it's such an individual sport too.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, but I mean, I know that I saw for LA, Serena Williams, I think, is part owner of the LA Golf Club or something like that. So she may
Okay.
be looking into how does this work? How could I bring some kind of idea like what Tiger has into my sport and stuff like that? So you may see a change like that in tennis in the next, you know, 4 to 5 years possibly with her kind of studying how this model works. And even if it does work, right? I mean, why would, even if you have a good idea for tennis, let's see how this kind of works. And if it'll even go yet before you bring it up to the full speed, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. I know they, I don't know what it's, I'm not going to speak like I know what I'm talking about. I know there are a couple of tennis events that are sort of trying to be like team oriented, but there's nothing like the Ryder Cup, nothing like the President's Cup, nothing like the Solheim Cup. Like, sport, you know, golf has done a decent job, you know, of trying to create that. And I mean, Ryder Cup is definitely the one that we know of and pay attention to. So yeah, it was, you know, it's an interesting format. I heard, so you had Tiger, Max Homa, and
Kevin Kisner.
Kevin Kisner, and they're playing Justin Rose, Sagith, right, Tahala,
Tabathia or something, yeah.
and then so the shot, it's funny, like that what we, again, the insider view of this world versus maybe what some of our listeners look at it. So the two things that really struck me that was funny during the part I watched on Tuesday night was obviously Kisner's shot out of the bunker that he bladed, hit into the stick.
Yes.
Just classic, right? And those guys, they were so real in their reaction to it that, like, he almost hit somebody type of thing is what Tiger said
Yeah.
when, and I don't know if that's, I guess I gotta believe it's like whatever you try to develop man-made for bunker play is not the same as what we normally hit out of the bunkers.
No, I mean, I, you know, there's just too much weathering that goes on a bunker outside compared to what you have on an indoor stadium, I think. You know what I mean?
I think I like I you know it looks pretty on TV. I just don't know what the consistency of the sand really is.
Yeah.
And then he almost makes the next one. Like the next one should have gone in. The tip was
Oh, he
amazing.
just nipped the edge. That was a beautiful shot, too. Wow.
That really would have been one of the best threes we've ever seen. That's what Tiger said too. So there's that component to it that okay, it's not really real. You know, it's a little, it's definitely some type of manufactured golf that we're looking at. And the other one that I saw was the last hole was Homa, who first of all is a par five. It was 729 yards, I think, is
Yeah.
what they had playing. So that shows you that we're not in the real world. But he hits a second shot, and he makes this kind of off the cuff comment where the ball gets pulled to the left of the hole and it goes down into the canyon or whatever. And he says he's like I didn't pull that, and, you know, and I
Yeah.
pretty much believe him. I
Yeah.
pretty much think that, and I'm a TrackMan guy. I believe in all of it. I think it works, you know, just so well for everything that we're doing. But
Yes.
I believe Max Homa has hit enough golf shots with his 5 iron to know whether he pulled it 8 yards left of the target or not. So I don't know what that means for anybody. It's just kind of a good indicator that you know, it's fun to watch. It's a good Tuesday night in the middle of January. But yeah, let's get ready for Augusta coming up, and let's get ready for some of the other tour events that are real.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, the next stop, we've got the PGA show coming up right around the corner for us. Are you heading on up down here for the show at all, or?
It'd be different from what me and you have just, you know, had before in the past, because it was always in the middle of our season when I was in Florida. But now it'll be again kind of off season for us up here. Definitely more like go to demo day on Monday, on Tuesday. I like kind of being able to see all the product and go hit some different shots with some clubs. Always a little weather dependent over there at Orange County National on what's going to happen
Yes.
with the wind and stuff. And then I still get the excitement on Wednesday, and you know, Wednesday, Thursday, by Friday the vendors are so like quote unquote tired from being there that the energy's kind of gone. But that energy is pretty solid on Wednesday
Yeah.
and Thursday. I like going down the small back row aisles, finding the new products.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my members yesterday because I gave him a lesson, and he's like, "You going down?" I said, "Mike, I still go all the time. I still really enjoy it." I said, I found lab golf 6 years ago. It was directed force. You know, we talked about that. Like, that was a putter that was brought out 6 years ago, and nobody knew what it was. And it was on the back end of the, it was down by the vending machine. And now they've become this kind of, you know, new age product, and they've got this new technology. No, they were doing this 6 years ago. They just had a small vendor, and now it's Directed Force got bought by Loud Golf, and you know, better marketing, better advertising, and
Yeah, they
all of a
had like
sudden,
a little ploy where you hung the putter in something and you swung it and it
remember?
was just completely balanced, wasn't it? Am I wrong on that? Wasn't there something like that?
Yeah, their deal was it always returned to face angle being square.
Okay.
That was that little like you said, that little ploy is a good term. It was kind of their, you know, their marketing tool to show you that the club face would always return to center. And it does. And that's literally part of that kind of idea of the counterbalance putter that Odyssey has. You'll see Odyssey. I've already kind of had the sneak peek of Odyssey's got a square to square putter, which is the shaft is in the middle of the club head instead of, you know, on the front side of call it, which is again, that's kind of the lab golf design, is that same thing. If you put the shaft in the middle of the face of the club head, behind the club head is the key, not parallel with the club head, then the moment of inertia, the toe and heel weighting, all that takes place to a much better degree. And that's why you're starting to be able to get the feel of mishitting putts with these, you know, oversized mallets and getting better results.
Yeah. These mallet putters are definitely the wave of the future. They're giving you a lot more MOI and
Yep.
you know, return, you know, feel
That's it.
for what it was compared 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, I think we should we'll get together again next week. We'll do one kind of after the show so we can kind of tell the listeners about what's some of the new product that we saw.
Yeah.
Kind of get them excited for 2025, and I think it's a good start. I think it's a good session to get some people thinking about how to, you know, lower their scores for 2025 and move on.
Are there any products that you're currently looking at there at the show or anything? Anything that's kind of catching your eye possibly that you're wanting to see there at the show?
I think, you know, part of it's being like industry specific or to the golf course, the things that we're looking for here, particularly at Oakley. So it's kind of part of it is honestly getting, we have a lot of people that walk the course. So we're looking at some different pull carts.
Good.
And that may not sound exciting, but it is. It's still like there's even
Necessary.
technology in pull carts, you know. I think there's some of that. I think there's, I always like to try to get to the hat brands and be able to kind of, there's so much like individuality you can do with the hats now. Before you kind of had to go, okay, I got 24 yellow, 24 blue, and send them out to me in 144 shipments and give me them on May 1st and give me them on September 1st and we'll call it a day. But now you can really, you know, really customize for us here at Oakley, where we're the original Ross golf course. I like to incorporate that into the branding. I like to put the 1898 there on the hat. I like to put the little acorn logo, like, and just kind of think about some of those different ways. So I'm kind of excited to, like, I don't need to know how to do all that. I want to go talk to a couple companies and say, hey, here's what I want on the different hats, and I'd like to get six, you know, six, 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 and six with four different color schemes. And can we do that? And you know, then let's place an order in April, and then let's do a different one in June, and then let's go for another one in August. And you know, so it's the buying habits are different up here than they are down south.
Gotcha.
But
Absolutely.
yeah. And then you know, obviously, I always kind of, to me, I'm going to walk by the simulator types of places and see if, you know, not say TrackMan, but you know, see if TrackMan's got anything new, and see if you can talk
See
to
if there's
some of the
any new
different.
toys.
Yeah. Clubs are, that's gonna, you know, I'm gonna sound like the old guy here. Clubs are clubs, you know, every year. Again, we were supposed to hit it 50 yards further if we kept listening to our club reps right
Absolutely.
now.
Yeah, I should be hitting a
But
thousand
yeah.
yards by now.
Exactly. So yeah. Well, good man. Good.
Good. So, want to thank everybody, thank all our listeners. If you like this episode and like Dynamic Podcast, please think about liking or subscribing to the channel. It really does help. Thank you, Sean. Any last thoughts before we break?
No, great talking with you as always, T-Mac. Look forward to 2025, and just get out there, guys. I mean, do whatever you can in your garage, in your backyard, and at the driving range. You know, almost a no practice or bad practice is okay, but you know what you're doing when you're practicing, but go do it.
Yeah, get a start, find a corner, work your way out, and even if it's a wrong direction, at least you're moving in a direction, right?
Exactly. There you go. I like it.
So, happy 2025, everybody. Thank you and have a great day. All right, my man.